We are joined by Paul Sullivan, who writes for the New York Times. He's also the author of Clutch, Why Some People Don't Excel Under Pressure, or Why Some People Excel Under Pressure and Others Don't. This is the answer to the question I've been waiting for. Paul, welcome in, first of all.
Thanks very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
And I get the feeling that at a certain point, clutch is an overused term in sports. Well, let me ask first and foremost, is this about daily performance in life? Is it a sports-centric book? Give us the kind of synopsis at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I picked the title, on purpose. It's a term that every sports fan knows. You know, people who are clutch, and you know people who are choked, who choke. But I want to. It's much more than that. It's not a sports book. It's not a business book. It looks more broadly. I mean, there are people and there are athletes in there. There are business people in there. But there are attorneys. There are actors. I mean, it's a book that can apply to anyone. Why? Because we all face pressure, and we all want to find a way to do better under pressure.
And how do we indicate, or how do we identify, obviously over the course of time and as it relates to sports, certainly the body of work of individuals may show that, but I guess the first key would be demeanor. Is that fair?
It is, and that's, how people look at it. Yeah, I mean, I found really that there were five traits that all clutch performers shared, whether they were, baseball players, attorneys, or actors. And, those five traits are focus, discipline, adaptability, being present, and what I call the push and pull of fear and desire.
Now, when we take a look at the push and pull of fear and desire, I guess to a degree, and I'm trying to decipher here, but to some extent, ignorance is bliss. And when we talk about the guys who are extremely worried about performing, I would have to imagine that is one of the aspects that kind of takes away from the ability to perform in the clutch. Is that fair?
That is fair. That's absolutely correct. And, the three qualities of people who choke are, they don't accept responsibility, they're overconfident. And as you just said right there, they overthink things. I'm up in New York and, Alex Rodriguez, he's always choking. I mean, even when he's great, people worry that he's going to go back to his old ways. And, this summer we watched him up here try to hit 600 home runs. And, well, he's a great ball player, whatever you say, whatever you think about him, but it took him much longer to get that 600th home run than it did all those other home runs if you kind of space out the time in between. Why? Because he starts to overthink. He starts to think, oh, my God, if I get this 600 home run, how many other guys have done that? I'm now even farther up the ladder. I'm higher in the pantheon of sports greats, and that's a hard burden to carry.
Now, Paul, is being clutch something that's teachable, or is this something that you're kind of either born with or you're not?
It's absolutely teachable, and every single person I profile in the book is now great under pressure, but they didn't start off that way. For example, David Price, who started the All-Star game this year for Tampa Bay, phenomenal pitcher. But, what few people know is, 7 years ago when he was a freshman at Vanderbilt, he was ready to quit, baseball and go home to Murfreesboro and work at McDonald's. Why? Because he thought he was awful under pressure. Well, his coach worked with him, got his skills better, got his, fundamentals in line, and now he's a fantastic clutch pitcher.
Now, on the other side of that, I don't want to indict a Tom Brady, but as I start to think of examples, you talk about a guy who came in with not a great deal of fanfare, maybe not the highest expectation in the world. A couple of seasons later, he's a guy that everybody is penciling in for Pro Bowls and as one of the top two or three quarterbacks in all of football. And again, not to make a statement about his clutchness, but can we see guys kind of go the other way as well from, that kind of ignorant perspective to really starting to believe their hype, read their headlines, and as a result, maybe their performance suffers?
That's a great question, and you're absolutely correct. I mean, I make the point in the book that being clutch is hard work, and it's not something that's transferable necessarily from one aspect of life to another, and you can lose it. And, one of the people I sat down with several years ago, one-on-one, was Tiger Woods. And at that time, this is right after Tiger won the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. He was one of the great, then considered one of the great clutch athletes of all time. I mean, I still think he'll come back. He'll be better under pressure with his golf game. But it showed that in his personal life, he was horrible. I mean, he choked handling the fallout from his personal decisions like any of us would. He crumbled under pressure. And that's, and so far we've seen him on the golf course, go the other way. And so it is possible, but it's also possible for him to regain that form.
Talking with Paul Sullivan, writer for the New York Times, also author of the new book Clutch. And Paul, is it fair to say that we could kind of look at this as a an introspective, a self-help-esque manual type?
It is. I mean, you know, I started it from a very, you know, personal point of view. I mean, when I was a kid, I played a lot of golf with my grandfather. I played well, and then I'd go into a tournament, and I choked, and it drove me crazy. And that was the kind of, you know, tongue-in-cheek reason why I started it. But, you know, as I wrote this book, the 2-3 years it took me to write this book, you know, the economy got worse, the job market got worse. I mean, this is a book that can help anybody. You know, stress and pressure are just two sides of the same coin. Stress is internal, pressure is external. But these five traits will help anybody become better in those two areas.
Is it difficult in terms of trying to identify maybe some of the mental roadblocks that will, and as I'm reading here from the synopsis, you did research with a number of athletes who, you know, maybe didn't feel that clutch to begin with and have kind of learned the trait, but is it difficult to kind of pinpoint exactly what it is, or even for guys to identify themselves as not being clutch?
Yeah, it's not. I mean, one of the things, it goes back to, you know, I get emails now from people who say, you know, I love pressure. The more pressure, the better. And I'll argue that they're probably not as good under pressure as they think they are. I mean, the one common thread is most of these people were incredibly humble. You know, be you David Price, a great pitcher, or your JP, you know, Jamie Dimon running JP Morgan, they all just kind of get down to work. And, you know, they start by focusing, you know, what is the most important thing I need to do right now under pressure? And I make the case early on that being clutch is the ability to do what you can do normally, but under extreme pressure. And so you have to have that skill to begin with. It's not luck. It's not the, you know, Hail Mary pass to win the football game. It's the precisely executed series of plays down the field. And we can apply that to our life.
Paul, is there a difference between the guy that you want, let's say, at the plate? Well, obviously in terms of skill set, but in terms of mental makeup, is there a difference between the guy that you want at the batting, you know, batting at the plate with the game on the line, as opposed to the guy who you want shooting game-winning jumpers potentially?
Yeah, you want the grinder. I mean, you really do. You want the person who is very good at his or her job, but, you know, they're focused on that. They're not, you know, what kills so many people under pressure is they either A, think of the glory that they're going to receive if they come through, or B, they think of, you know, how they're going to be made fun of if they fail. Both of those, you know, mindsets are detrimental. I mean, the fourth trait of being clutch is being present. And quite simply, that means, you know, not thinking about either of those, focusing simply on the task at hand. And that's where the grinder often does better and often comes through.
Well, when we look at a guy like LeBron James, for example, and try to contrast his skill set or his clutchness, I guess would be the right term in comparison to a guy like Kobe Bryant, does the off season and the willingness to align himself with other superstars kind of give us an indication that maybe he's not the clutch guy that we would like to envision him to be?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you there. I mean, LeBron is hugely talented. I mean, that's an understatement. But you've probably heard these stories about Kobe Bryant, and that, you know, whenever somebody joins the Lakers, somebody new comes on the team, he needs to play them one-on-one, and he wants to beat them one-on-one. And, you know, some people could read that as, oh, well, he's a showboat, he's arrogant. But I read it differently. I read it that he always is trying to test his skills, and he knows that at some point somebody's going to be better than him. And he's, you know, playing on a team with a lot of great guys. You know, LeBron, phenomenal athlete, but I mean, his whole ritual that he does before he goes out and plays, it's a bit much. I mean, it's about basketball. It's about winning basketball games, and that's what, you know, the best players under pressure remember. It's not how you do it, it's that you do it.
Paul, last thing for you before we find out where we can go look for the book and where we might be able to find you elsewhere on the internet and et cetera. But in looking at the modern athlete, and I guess John Elway comes to mind, Michael Jordan certainly comes to mind, Derek Jeter probably comes to mind as well. For your money, who is the king of clutch?
That's a great question. I mean, you've named, you know, the three top guys. You know, if you're talking athletes, I'd add one more in there, and that would be Roger Federer. And what he did last year at Wimbledon against Andy Roddick, when he not only was trying to win Wimbledon, but he knew that if he won it, he was going to become the man with the most Grand Slam titles in history. Yet, you know, he was totally clutch. He stayed focused. He stayed disciplined. He adapted to things that changed. He was present, and in the end, he won Wimbledon. And that, to me, is a true clutch performance.
Are there certain sports that are going to require that more so than others? You talk about tennis. Certainly golf comes to mind. I would even imagine maybe boxing and mixed martial arts because of the fact that you don't have a team to rely on. Baseball would seem to be that way. Are there sports that are more where clutchness, I guess, would be more of a requisite skill as opposed to other places where we might be able to hide you just based on God-given talent?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's easier, if nothing else, it's easier to spot it in sports where there's a key man. And, you know, you talk about John Elway, you know, quarterback, great quarterback. You talk about Michael Jordan, the way he could, you know, direct a game. You know, Jeter, you want Jeter up at the plate when it matters.
Or standing on the first baseline when that roller comes in from the outfield,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's what is it, though, about them? It's their intensity. And so the greats at any sport, the greats in business, the greats in life, can call on that intensity. You can't be clutch every moment of your life. It'd be totally exhausting. But it, you know, these guys can call it up when they need it. And, you know, it's easier to measure it in some sports, but I believe that, you know, every sport has it. I tell a story in my book about a guy bowling a 300 game, a perfect game, and how he did that. And we don't think of bowlers as, you know, athletes on par with Michael Jordan, but guess what? It's the same skills needed to bowl that perfect game.
Now, and I know I keep leading you on, as I said last thing here, but when we talk about the poker face, and I guess now that we're talking about poker as a sport, is the same kind of clutchness or skill set requisite as we talk about maybe the ability to tune out some of the external pressure?
I don't know. I've lost so much money playing poker over the years, and I've got a pretty stern face. So that's one question I can't answer.
Fair enough. Paul Sullivan, New York Times, author of Clutch. I'm assuming that we should be looking for this at Amazon. Is there anywhere else we should be looking for you and,
yep,
and also the book?
Yeah, go to Amazon.com, walk into your neighborhood Barnes & Noble, your neighborhood Borders, or go to my website, pauljsullivan.com. Has an events page, tells you where I'm going to be over the next couple weeks.
Outstanding. Paul, I sure appreciate your time. Again, it is Clutch, why some people excel under pressure and others don't. And believe me, it is a secret that I have long been looking for, Paul.
Great. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Anytime, man. Thanks again. And that's certainly good stuff. Again, Paul Sullivan, New York Times, author of Clutch, why some people excel under pressure and others don't. 410-481-1570 is the phone number. It is the Mobtown Sports Beat. We're brought to you by Bud Light, the sure sign of a good time. Also brought to you by our friends at the Wild Duck Cafe. And Ron and his lovely wife, Rhonda, took great care of me down at the Wild Duck for Sunday's Ravens-Steelers game. And he wants me to remind folks that although it is a beachfront and boat accessible location, that Labor Day does not end the season.